It says, greetings from Argentina, where we are still under a strict quarantine. We would like to share some praises with you and then some requests for prayer. Now, this is a praise item. We were praying for their granddaughter. Her name is Kaylee. Kaylee is the first name, anyway. She was moved out of intensive care after 14 weeks. She's moved to the cancer floor for leukemia. So pray for this little girl. This is their granddaughter that has leukemia. And now, I didn't realize what had happened since we last prayed for her, but she spent 14 weeks in intensive care, and now is still in the hospital, apparently. So keep her in your prayers. La Decontention, which is a rehab place, began reaching out to his family members and friends and sharing the gospel. He has a study with his cousins about salvation. We are still able to travel and continue with the studies that we are doing. Franco and Gonzalo, another man from the Casa de Contención, as they began working with drug addicts in their town, General Dehesa. I guess that's the name of the town. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, they're working with these other drug addicts. I never know how to pronounce these names in Spanish. J-O-R-G-E with a J, I don't know, Jorge or something, I don't know. Anyway, a man in the Casa de Contención for spiritual growth and his witness to his family. Okay, and then pray for the Cozzani family. They're hosting the Bible study in La Granja. Their two-year-old grandson, Jacob, drowned on Monday. So there's a sadness there. Nelson and Karen, as they pray for Nelson and Karen, as they continue with the Bible study they have with her family. Karen's younger sister, Shayla, is undergoing chemo for leukemia, and it is affecting her heart. So that's another one with leukemia. Pray for Argentina. Things are getting more difficult for the people because of the quarantine. I think that's generally speaking for a lot of places. And pray for our young family we just met here in Totoral, Renato, Christina, and their daughter Justina. Pray for their salvation. We are truly thankful for your prayers for us and the ministry here in Argentina. We are also thankful for the faithful and sacrificial giving, which enables us to continue to minister here. So that's from Joe and Gail Owens. As you notice, they spend a great deal of time teaching others to go out and apparently having some good success. A lot of the members of the churches and so forth are busy working, reaching, and witnessing for Christ and seeking to help others. So that's a wonderful thing that everyone gets involved in the ministry, serving the Lord. Okay. The offering plates, of course, are on the back table, like we've been doing for some time now. Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse number 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." He answereth him and saith, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times, it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for your word to our hearts today, for the mighty power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ over everything else, over the demons of hell. And we thank you, Lord, to know that you are with us to help us in every situation of life. And we pray that you'll take away the fear and anxiety from our hearts and give us that faith to believe you in every situation. Lord, these are troubled times that we live in with all that's going on around us and the anticipation of the election coming up and what's going to happen there. It's easy to get worried and fretful and anxious. Help us not to have those ideas, or those ways of thinking, but rather to place ourselves in your hands and know that everything will turn out for the best, that you are with us to help us. May we trust you. May we follow you. May we do your will in all things. How we thank you and praise you that we have your word, that you promised that you would never leave us nor forsake us. We know that, and we thank you for that. We do pray for those who are in need today, our Father, you know. Many are anxious and don't know which way to turn, and I pray that you'll help them. And I pray, dear Father, that you'd be with those that have illnesses and sicknesses. We know that you're able to touch and to heal. We think of this missionary, Joe Owens and his wife, and pray for them, that you'd bless them and their ministry there in Argentina. We know their hearts are heavy because of their granddaughter. And we pray for Kaylee. We pray that she might be healed. Thank you that she's out of the intensive care. Pray that you'll continue to help her and to heal this leukemia. We know that there's another person there also that has the same disease, and we ask you to undertake for them. We pray for these men who've been in rehab and now have trusted Christ and are serving you, reaching out to others and seeking to help them to be free. We pray, O Lord, that your holy will be done there. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, for many souls to be saved through these Bible studies and prayer meetings that they're having and various other activities. Thank you for the work that they're doing. We pray for Argentina, as he mentioned, that are under quarantine. We pray, Lord, that you would have mercy on them. And we pray for our country, too, as we still have this virus that's raging in certain areas. And we just pray, oh Lord, that somehow it might lift. We heard this morning about the locusts that were taken away, and the sad people were free from them. We pray that you'll take this virus away, Lord. We pray that you'll give us victory over this. And we pray that you'll help us to realize that we're in your hands. You're the one who's in control, Lord. So often people are so arrogant and think that they have the answer. But we know, Lord, that the answer is from you. So we pray, oh God, your will be done, that you would work in a very special way. May Christ, our blessed Savior, be glorified in all that we do and say. May we honor you and give us the power and strength that we need to serve you, we pray. Thank you. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, your love. Help us to walk in fellowship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. All right, let's turn once again to Mark chapter 9, where we read from before. Last week we read the first part of this chapter about the transfiguration. We see what a contrast here on the mountaintop. Jesus took his three disciples, Peter, and James and John. They went up there to pray, it says. And while they were praying, the countenance of Jesus changed completely. He was transfigured before them, transformed. His glory shone from out of him, and they could see who he was. And Peter, you remember, wanted to stay there. He said, Lord, let's put up some tents. Let's put these three tabernacles here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He thought that was the proper thing to say, although he didn't really know what to say, it said. You can put yourself in that position. What kind of a situation would that be to see something extraordinary happen? Wouldn't you like to see something extraordinary happen? Wouldn't it be great? You know, and these people, they had been going from day to day, preaching, teaching, and traveling about, doing things, and all of a sudden they go up on this mountaintop, and Jesus glows in front of them. Can you imagine? My goodness, that would be exciting. And then, these other people showed up, Moses and Elijah, and they were talking with Jesus, and it says in another place, that they were discussing his exodus from the world. They were talking about him going to the cross, dying for us, coming forth from the grave, and going back to heaven. You know, Moses and Elijah. You say, well, how could they possibly be there? Didn't it say that God buried Moses up on a mountain someplace? How did he get out of there? Well, and Elijah, he went up in a whirlwind to heaven. Right, so we have here one person that had died and come back to life again, apparently. And Elijah, who went to heaven, and here he is back. Now, you might say, well, was it just a vision? It might have been. I don't know. But it speaks of them as if they were there. At any rate, we find here Peter wants to stay there, and he's thinking of all three of these people. And all of a sudden, a cloud envelops the whole mountaintop, and a voice comes out and says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Hear him. And that's the message we need to think about today. Who are we listening to? Here we have Jesus is the one that we need to look to. You know, it was Steve mentioned before. He says, you know, you can talk about God all you want to, but when you talk about Jesus, then that's a whole new category, isn't it? Because who is Jesus? He's God. Yes, He's God in human form, right? And everything He did and said was right. And we should look to Him. So here on the mountaintop, and it's wonderful when you can be alone with the Lord on the mountaintop. But here, God the Father says, you make sure that you're with Jesus. You see, Moses and Elijah, God's servants, but Jesus is God's Son, right? And there is a difference. There is a difference. And we need to make sure that the one that we're worshiping is Jesus. You know, I was thinking about that. Oftentimes we say the Apostle Paul was the greatest person that ever lived, perhaps, a servant of God after Christ. But the Apostle Paul is a human being just like us. Jesus is God. You see, there is a difference. Now, of course, Paul sought to follow him. He said, you follow me as I follow Christ. So that's the point. And here we find the Lord, God Almighty, speaks and says, okay, you listen to what Jesus has to say. And then all of a sudden, it all cleared up, and there was no one there except it says, Jesus only, with the disciples. The other guys went back to wherever they were, I guess heaven. But anyway, Jesus was still there. And now they're coming back down the mountain. We saw that last week also. And they tell him, well, isn't Elijah supposed to come back before all of this takes place? Before you set up your kingdom and so forth? And he says, truly. But he's already come. He's speaking here of John the Baptist. That John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah. And if they would only receive him, that would fulfill the scripture. That's what he's saying. And now he says Elijah's still going to come because people did not receive him at that time. So anyway, we find coming on down to our present scripture that we read this morning. It says when he came to his disciples, the other nine disciples that were down in the valley, right? They came down off the mountaintop. And when they got down closer to them, they saw that there was a great crowd of people there. And the scribes, the spiritual leaders of Israel, those who had knew the scriptures, those who were experts in the religious law, were there talking to the disciples. And so Jesus walks up to them, and they see him coming, and they all say, oh, there's Jesus. Oh, my goodness, let's go see him, right? So they all come running over, and Jesus asked the scribes, what are you questioning them about? What's going on here, you know? What's happening, you know? And we find here, he's asking us this. I have this quotation from Campbell Morgan. He says, he found disputing scribes, a distracted father, a demon-possessed boy, and defeated disciples. He silenced the scribes. He comforted the father. He healed the boy, and he instructed the disciples. He's preached my whole sermon right there in that one little phrase, isn't he? It's all right there. And yet, we find here Jesus coming down, and his disciples are in trouble. Right? Now, this man says, I brought my son. I wanted to see you, but you weren't here. Right? Jesus was up on the mountaintop, so he couldn't reach him. So he's all good. Here are his disciples. They have the power, right? They have the power to cast out demons. Jesus gave it to them. when He chose them. He says that that's one of the things that they could do was cast out demons, preaching the gospel, and going about teaching the people. And so this man thought that they would cast out this spirit. It says it was a deaf and dumb spirit. It made the boy to where he couldn't talk, and also mistreated him, abused him, threw him into the water, threw him into the fire, and all these things. It must have been a horrible thing. And the man says, I brought him to your disciples that they would cast out the demon, and they could not. Isn't that terrible? Think of that. This man came looking for help for his son who was having such a difficult time. And under the power of Satan and unable to function like he would like to, he comes to God's people and they can't do anything for him. That's bad, isn't it? You ever feel that way? You know, think of that. Here we are. We say we are the people of God. Should we not be able to help people with their needs? I know we don't cast out demons. I've never had that opportunity, and I don't expect to. You know, I don't think that the Lord's doing that so much these days. There may be some demons that need to be cast out, though. I will say that. I think there may be a few around, and I hope the Lord will take care of them. But here we find Jesus speaking when he finds us out. I don't know what tone of voice he had when he said this, but I don't think he was too pleased. He says, "Oh, faithless generation." Who's he including here? I think they're disciples, right? They didn't have the faith to believe that they could do it, apparently. And the scribes, of course, they were there to criticize, to cause all kinds of problems, to turn people away from the Lord Jesus. And the man himself, we find that he did not have a very strong faith himself. Oh, faithless generation. And certainly today, I think if Jesus were here, he may say the same thing. Huh? What do you think? Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you, suffer you? Bring him to me. So, I think when we can't do something for someone, what should we do? Take him to Jesus, right? We can do that. We do it in prayer, right? And we can seek to point people to Jesus who has the answer, right? And that's what he's saying here. So they brought him to him. And when the demon saw him, he's threw him down on the ground. And he was foaming at the mouth, wallowing around like a mad person. And Jesus said, how long has this been going on? He said, of a child. Now, I don't know how old this boy was, but he must have been, you know, he's had this for a long time, in other words. Since he was a little child, apparently. Is what the man is saying. It's just pathetic to think about that. Someone who is captivated by the devil. Someone who goes on and on day after day, week after week, suffering these kind of things with no hope. And now the father comes seeking help and he can't find it. It has to be very discouraging, I would think. He says, Jesus says, let me read what the man says. If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now, his faith has been shaken, I think. Don't you think? He hoped the disciples were going to help him. They couldn't. So he says, now, if you think you can do something to help me, do it, you know. So his faith is not very strong. He's a little bit of a doubt here. And have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. That could be translated a little differently. I saw it in another version. It said, if you can. If you can. He says, what do you mean? If you can. You know, of course I can. And if you can believe, it'll happen. Don't you love that verse? It says, all things are possible to him that believes. Everything. Didn't Jesus say to these disciples one time, he said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can move a mountain? Wow. Who believes you can do that? Anybody? Oh, you do? Okay, good. Got it. I haven't seen anybody moving mountains around, but but he can do it, can he? All right. And so he said, if you really believe, you can do this. I had something here on this. Jesus said to him who believes, this is something I got out of another book. All things are possible. Now this man says, the cure of your boy depends not on me, but on you. This is not a specially theological truth, it's universal. To approach anything in the spirit of hopelessness is to make it hopeless. To approach anything in the spirit of faith is to make it a possibility. You see? And the whole attitude of the father of the boy, he had come seeking for Jesus, and he had had to deal with the disciples, and his experience of them was discouraging. His faith was badly shaken. So when he came to Jesus, all he could say was, at first, help me if you can. Then, face to face with Jesus, suddenly his faith blazed up again. He says, I believe. Fill me with an unquestioning faith. He says, Lord, I believe. What does he say? Help thou my unbelief. He says, I believe, yes, but how can you be so sure? Do you know this for sure? You believe it? How strong is our faith? What do we believe? He said, I believe, but help my unbelief. There's still that part I'm not quite sure about. So anyway, we find here the father cried out and said, help my unbelief. So when Jesus then saw the crowd, here they were coming. They saw him. He had been talking with the Father, and now here everyone's coming. All of a sudden, there's a lot of confusion going on. So Jesus speaks to the Spirit, and he says, thou dumb and deaf Spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. He gets down to business, doesn't he? He says, okay, this is it. He's casting out this evil spirit out of the man. And setting him free. And what happens? The spirit cried and rent him sore, tore him apart, came out of him. Yes, he obeyed. But then he was left there as one dead. They looked at him and said, what in the world happened here? He's dead. He's not moving. And Jesus reached out and took him by the hand, and he rose. Right? How many times did Jesus do that? You remember about Jesus taking one by the hand, picks them up, and they are healed, they are cured, they are raised from the dead. And here we find it again. Now, whether the boy was actually dead or just still, we don't know. But at any rate, the power of God worked in his behalf and brought him to that place of restoration, completely restored. So he arose. And I suppose then the Father thanked Jesus. He doesn't say this, but I'm sure he did. He must have said before that he had fallen down before him. And you can just imagine the gratitude that must have been in this man's heart and in this boy that was healed. We don't know what happened to them after that. You know? And yet God did a mighty miracle. Verse 28. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out? Lord, what's the matter here?" He said, "Didn't you give us the power to cast out demons? Wasn't that one of the things that we were supposed to be able to do? Why? Why can we not do this?" Well, what does Jesus say? He says, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." Now, I know in, I was reading on this, a lot of the different, it says that the best manuscripts, whatever that is, don't put "and fasting." They just say, it's prayer, by prayer. But I think the fasting probably goes along with it. Because you read many times in the New Testament and in the Old Testament that people spent time in fasting, didn't they? Fasting and prayer. Jesus, 40 days in the wilderness, fasting and praying. Moses spent 40 days up in the mountain, fasting and praying. And God heard and answered their prayer. Now, he says, this kind. So apparently there's some of these demonic forces that are stronger than others. You know, it speaks of that over in Ephesians, I believe. The principalities and powers of the air and so forth. Apparently there's a whole rank of these demonic forces, like an army or something. I don't want to scare anybody this morning with all this, but you know what I mean? Some of them may be more difficult than others. And I wanted to read this over in James. James chapter 5. And beginning at verse number 16. James 5:16. He says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." That says a lot, doesn't it? The effectual, fervent prayer. This is not just, "I lay me down to sleep, Lord, help me make it through the night," you know. No. Fervency. This is something that really gets a hold of you. A prayer that you want desperately, one that is effective, that God hears, and that he will answer. And it says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, I think that has something to do with our spiritual condition, doesn't it? You have to be righteous in the sight of God for him to hear your prayer. And he says it avails much. And then he gives an example here in verse 17. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He's just another man like us. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Wow, that's an answer to prayer, isn't it? I don't know about the farmers. They probably didn't think so. But you never know what God is doing. He was bringing judgment upon Israel because of the evil king, Ahab. And Elijah prayed. It didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So, God answers fervent prayer. He answers our prayers when we are really looking to Him, trusting Him, having our faith and confidence in Him. He can do great and mighty things. So, here we find this example, the power of God working through one man and his prayer. He can work through anyone who is a righteous person who calls upon His name, and that we can have our needs met. He hears the prayer of the sinner who comes to Christ and puts his faith and trust in Him alone for salvation. He hears the prayer of the believer who humbles himself before Him, turns from his sin, and seeks His face. He will hear and answer our prayers. So we need to trust Him. Put your faith and confidence in Him. And be willing to spend time in His presence and allow Him to meet the need, whatever it may be. Whether it be a sickness, whether it be salvation for some precious soul, whether it be something else that affects each and every one of us. May God help us to walk in that way with Him and to be faithful in our prayers, that God might hear and answer, and that His will might be accomplished in our lives and in the life of each one of our loved ones. May God help us. Thank You, dear Heavenly Father, this morning for Your word to our hearts. We pray that we will be blessed, that we will look to You and find that strength and help that we need for our life today and every day. Lord, help us to be willing to look to You for our needs. Lord, there's no one else that could do it. No one else. You're the only one. And so we commit ourselves into Your hands today and pray that You'll work in our lives and help us to put our faith and trust and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ without hesitation and without reservation. May we love You. May we serve You. May Your will be done. In Jesus' name.
Amen. As we take to heart the exhortation to follow our Lord, to believe Him, let us rise up, O Church of God. Hymn 433. Have done with lesser things, give heart and mind and soul and strength to serve the King of Kings. Great hymn to end with. Hymn 433. Let's stand together.
Rise up, O Church of God, have done with lesser things, give heart and mind and soul and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O Church of God, His kingdom tarries long. Ring in the day of brotherhood and end the night of wrong. Rise up, O sons of God, The church for you doth wait, her strength unequal to her task. Rise up and make her great. Lift high the cross of Christ, tread where his feet have trod. As followers of the Son of Man, rise up, O Church of God.